Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
God. So if you check most of the New Testament, in fact, nearly the Old Testament, they use the word doxa with respect to God. Amen. Because there is a component of that word glory that is called majesty. Praise God. And like I've shown to us, there is no king on earth that has displayed and has manifested such kingly majesty. None. The closest it was Solomon. But remember Jesus Christ said Solomon in all his what? His glory. That preeminence, that shining, that honor they gave to him, said it is not comparable to what? To the lilies of the field. In other words, as far as heaven is concerned, Solomon pales into insignificance. You cannot compare Solomon with that of the majesty of God. Amen. It's incomparable. We have no words on earth. We have no words among men by which we can say this is what it means. We don't have it. The vocab is not there. We can't create it. Even if we create it, you still will not understand it. Praise God. Because you understand things by association, right? So John will say, and his face was like unto the sun in his full strength. That's the best he can say. Until you see it, you cannot understand what he was saying. Even that face is brighter than the sun in his full strength. How brighter? There's no measurement to use. All I know is that John fell down as dead. He just died. Praise God. Hallelujah. He didn't faint, though. He just died. They have to raise him up again. Amen. Now, that's not a revelation. No. Figurative. Just a pastor said, John died. And that was resurrection. I fell down as dead. Praise God. When every part of your being is numb, even your mind is numb. Oh, Lerunu. You don't know whether you are dead, or you are floating, or you are in coma, you are just as dead. Amen. Praise God. Few men have experienced that. I will take a look at those later. Praise God. So, only God is majestic. It means kingly majesty, which belongs only to him as the supreme ruler. In the sense of absolute perfection. You can't get anything more perfect than him. It's the ultimate definition of perfection. If you ever considered this concept of perfection, nothing in creation defines it. I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say. For example, I tell us that one of the reasons why the vulture was created is basically to show forth that aspect of God. What that aspect of God that the vulture, that patience, it was just patient like the vulture. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? But even the vulture does not really define how patient God is. It's just a very weak representation of his person. Amen. So when we're talking about perfection, anyhow and how far your imagination can go, if your imagination is this big, God is bigger than that imagination. If you are like Albert Einstein, that nothing can stop the range of your madness, praise God. You can think about things that human beings have refused to think. Your mind can go very far. You have not even started scratching how vast God is. Not scratched it. Praise God. Yet, in him dwelleth all the fullness bodily. Everything finds their rhythm. Everything finds their perfection in him. Praise God. It is that being we look at and say, that is perfection. I don't know whether you understand me. That is glory. So that's why you see in Isaiah, can you go to Isaiah chapter 6? And we read, we begin to, you know, see why. I want to explain something there about this experience the prophet had. And it's basically the experience that everybody's going to have when you come before that throne. Praise God. And in the year of in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. That train is not the locomotive that goes from Abuja to Abeokuta. Praise God. No, it's not a locomotive. It's not a, it's this glory filled the whole temple. Amen. The whole glory filled the whole temple. And verse 2 says, and above it stood what? The seraphims. And each one had six wings. And I began to describe these beings. With twine, it covered the space. Now, these were not ordinary beings. Amen. How can you have angels that have six wings? How will they look? Where would they put the wings? One is there. Praise God. But yet, they had six wings. Said with two, they cover their faces. The guy would do it like this, will cover his face. Amen. I don't know why he covers his face, but I think it's probably because of the light that is emanating from his presence. God does not reflect light. He doesn't reflect light. God generates light. He's a light generator. The Bible says there is no variableness or shadow of turning. That means God never cast a shadow on anything. Someone who had an out-of-body experience that was taken to heaven said that he was told that there is no location you are in heaven, you will never see the backside of God. How possible is that, geographically speaking? Abi, how is it possible? If I'm seated here, you are my back. Will you not see my back? Now, somebody is behind me. I'm here. I'm seeing God. And I'm seeing his face. And you are there. And I'm asking you, what's in your name? Adu. Anu, God bless you. And I say, Anu, have you seen God's backside? He said, no, I can only see his face. How does that make sense? I don't know whether you understand me. It's not as if he has one eye, one face here, one face here, one face here, and one face here. Praise God. You know, it's the same one face he has. And yet, nobody has ever seen his backside. So he doesn't cast shadow. Everybody is always seeing him seated on the throne. Praise God. How do you describe that kind of person? Who is always seated and is always like that, clothed in light? Amen. We will see what that means. Above is through the seraphim. No, wait. Now, I've not described those for beings. Because one of the things that helps us to know how majestic God is to see the kind of people that worship him. Amen. You know the difference between kings and kings is the quality of men that follow them. The king of your village does not have glory because the people that follow him. But when you compare the people that follow the Oni of Ife, you know that glory is different. They are both kings, though. Praise God. They take their adventure. I don't know your village. I won't say anything. But praise God. But many of the Yoruba village Obas claim that they take their glory from where? Their kingship from Ife. But When kings come out for meeting, everybody knows where they are supposed to sit. Praise God. Why is that? It's basically the kind of people that follow them. Amen. And so when they began to describe, see, when you cannot describe how glorious a king is, you describe the people that are following. I don't know whether you understand. That will give you an idea of how he's worth. Amen. They were describing seraphims. They did not describe cherubims. Share, follow me. These are not the most powerful of angels. They are not the most powerful. However, with twine, he covered his face. And with twine, he covered his feet. And with twine, he did fly. Praise God. Next verse. And one cried to the other, I'm standing here. God is there. And who is there? Praise God. We are four. Deacon is here. Pastor is here. And they were crying one to another. I will shout to Pastor. He will shout to Deacon. He will shout to Anu. Anu will shout back to me. They've been shouting like that since they were created. They have never grown tired. I don't know why God put those four there. And what have they been crying? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of what? His glory. And the Bible says, by reason of their cry, what happened in verse 4? And the posts of the door moved. The thing began to move on its axis. By reason of the cry of those beasts. And the house was what? Was filled with smoke. What were they looking at? Now, the Bible says they veiled their faces. They veiled their faces. And I think they veiled their faces because the intensity of the light that comes out of his presence, they can't see, look into it. Amen. They can't look into it. But I don't really think that it's just about intensity. The Bible says that that light is basically what they call glory. Amen. That glory filled the whole temple. The light filled the whole temple. Because the Bible says when it came down in the day that Solomon dedicated the temple, and the glory of the Lord filled the whole temple. That Bible says they could not minister by reason of the glory that was present. The ministers could not minister. The priests could not minister. Everybody fell under the anointing. They just fell because that thing was heavy. Hallelujah. Am I communicating? That's what tells you now, the king that you serve is, everything about him is awesomeness. Hallelujah. But also, why will they be crying, holy, holy, holy? I don't think that God programmed them like a computer and said, all you'll be crying all your life is holy, holy, holy. Anybody that comes to the temple, I want to just cry and let me look good. Are you with me? It's not about looking good. Every time they veil that and they look to God, something new comes up out of God every day that they see. Because light talks about things you see. It's sight. Amen. So you are just seeing something come out of God and say, ah, holy. Like, Mugbedio. And you are finished. The last baby, another one pops out. Ah, but you baby, all that thing baby for the past millions and trillions of years. All thing baby, you. As I'm speaking to you, they are still baying the ED. And that's why they will keep on baying it until eternity. Because the Bible says his love is new every morning. They did not describe it. It's not every morning because there is no night and morning or night there. It's every second something new is popping out because of his creative ability is inexhaustible. Amen. And God, that's one thing you must know, that God loves to give. Because he generates so much that he has no need to hoard it. Amen. He has no need to hoard it. Every day things are being created and he wants to give it and give it and give it and give it because it's just his nature to give. And these angels look at him and they cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. They want to rest. Another one pops up, holy, holy. And they've been doing it like that and been doing it like that. So we serve an inexhaustible God. Inexhaustible, inexhaustible. There is nothing you and I want from him that will diminish anything inside of him. Amen. So when God looked at creation, he said, all you have seen is vanity. Everything you see, this earth, this thing you and I are talking, they are all what? As far as everyone is concerned, they don't exist. They have no value. They place no value in anything. It is we that you say, this is, ah, pastor, ah, this is 2,000 naira. Oh, where did you? As far as heaven is concerned, it is lighter than wind. Have you measured wind before? Have you measured wind? How heavy is wind? It's, I don't know whether it's weightless. So. But how many of you have ever paid for wind? I went to market and I said, how much is your wind? It says lighter than wind. The only reality that exists is inside him. Praise God. Am I communicating tonight? And so, the Bible speaks about him as a definition of majesty, of glory. Absolute perfection. It's a glorious condition of blessedness into which is appointed and promised that true followers of Christ shall enter after their labors, after their Savior returns from heaven. This is what is promised to us. Hallelujah. So I want to ask you, even though I've not finished painting it, will you, for the joy of this, joy what God has said before you? The Bible says, of, can you go to, give me to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at verse 2. Now, remember the prayer that Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. I think I like this arrangement. This way of standing like this, praise God. Praise God. It makes sense, Pastor. Amen. It makes very good sense. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, that be okay. All right. Straight. Hey, praise God. Yeah. Amen. Maybe I will not be coming down regularly. Remember, he said in his prayers that he said, the glory I had with you before the world began, that glory, gone, I want it back. Praise God. Now, that was a strange prayer because the person's praying is a man. But remember, he said to the Jews, that before Abraham was, I am. And they were like, look at this stupid boy. When you, hey, said because we did not tell your story that you're a bastard. And you had come here to be talking nonsense that you were before Abraham. No, technically, he had no father. And he did not resemble Joseph. Say you know. I mean, you don't know. Oh, Joseph. Praise God. You know when a white man has a black son? You know there's a problem. There was a couple, Nigerian couple. It was very strange thing. You know, Nigerian couple. They had twins. Was it twins or a child? Pure Oyibo, blue eyes, blonde hair, everything Oyibo, and they are Nigerians, and they are brethren. And I was doing my head like this, I was reading the story, there is going to be a problem. I don't want to explain that. And he says it's natural birth. How did it natural? Sister, you have to go and confess this issue in church. Amen. But why I did not have issues with that? Oh, I don't think I did. I'm really not sure what I would have done if it happened to me. Now, normally, they were Nigerians. Not that they were Afghans. They were Igbos. The baby was pure Igbo. I think the nurses made a mistake and brought somebody else's child for them. But I don't know whether they now did DNA. But they now do DNA and they say it's their child that we will allow. Except the DNA matches the man's DNA. If it's the mother's DNA, she will look for another husband. Forget that one. Praise God. So that was the case of John, of Jesus. He didn't look like Brother John. And don't forget he had brothers and sisters. Don't worry after. Hello? Are you following my trend? So when he said that before Abraham, they look, hey, boy, you think I'm here? I'm so sorry, life, FOL. Amen. And so why was it so? What is he trying to say? Because it was a mystery the Bible said God kept for the foundation of the earth. Remember, there's a place that speaks about the land that was laid before the foundation of the earth was laid. Before he said, let there be, this lamp had been slain. What are you talking about there? That's a story for another day. Amen. And so the Bible says, give me the glory I asked, that I want, that I will add with you. I want it back. Hallelujah. And it was that glory that the Bible said here, and looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for what? The joy. What was that joy? It was the glory. It was the joy of wearing that glory, of having that glory back. It was that made him, what did he do? Endured the cross. What else did he do? He despised. What does it mean to despise? What Ogboyibo? Eh? Look down. Look down, we'll capture despise. What? Who are those who know English more than me? Yeah, Bisola, what's the meaning of despise? Disdain. Who knows the Yoruba word? This English is not capturing the reality. Who knows the Yoruba word for... Look at all of them are looking at. You don't know Yoruba. Eh? Ofi. Ofoju paere. I don't even... How do they foju paere? Yekpere. Binti. Binti is binti. There's still something like binti. My niece said, no, nothing. The thing was, it looks like a very, very funny statement. She, very young girl, said, no, nothing. Then I realized that nothing is something. Not nothing is something. So when that nothing said, no day, praise God, no, nothing. He despised the shame. Many of us will be overwhelmed with the shame. He despised it. He looked at it and said, is this the best you can do? You don't know the shame Jesus went through. You don't know. Have you? May not happen to you. But do you know why? Before we started throwing tire on the head of a thief, you know what we used to do to them? We used to strip them naked and let them go through the community naked, so that he will not have the audacity to come back to that place and steal. Because everybody will remember, bros, yeah? Nobody will come here that day that we strip you naked. Are you with me? It's to allow that shame to overwhelm him, that he won't want to come back and show his face there again. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Do you know that Jesus Christ, how many of you watch the Passion of Christ? You watched it. Did you see him on the cross? No, they had one fine dress. The truth is that Jesus was stripped naked. There was no dress on him. Everything was visible to all the daughters of Jerusalem. Amen. If I rose from the dead, I won't come back. Hallelujah. Everybody saw it, including Mary Magdalene. Everybody, think of anybody. Anybody can think about them. All those that were doing, Jesus, let me kiss you. No, no. You think it was Jesus? They didn't tell me Jesus with kisses. We were friends. My soul, take care in Jesus. Oh, need anything. All kinds of crazy things must have happened to him. He just did not bother to record it. So that's why the Bible says there is no temptation that you will go through. That he didn't go through it. He understands what you are going through. So don't think that, God, this my own temptation, is the greatest temptation man has ever faced. It's a lie. Praise God. Am I communicating to us? So Jesus despised the shame. Why will he do that? Because the Bible said there was a joy that was set before him. And that is what the Bible has presented. That is that glory the Bible has presented to us to seek after. Chapter 2, Romans 2, 7. It says about those who seek for this glory. Give me that Romans 2, verse 7. To them who by what? Patient continuance. Do you know why it has to be patiently done? Because you will come under pressure to give it up. You come under pressure to abandon that race. You have to be patient in your continuance. It's possible that, we are talking about rewards. It's possible that God could have promised that if you give your tithe, I will open the windows of heaven. And he may not open the windows of heaven. Or we may not even see your own windows open. Praise God. But can you continue patiently? Can you endure it? Can you press? You know, and you know what makes to press? The motivation for pressing is this. They continue in well-doing. Now, well-doing is because you will try and reach out to many. Many will despise it. Many will turn around and hurt you. Many will betray you. Many will say all kinds of horrible things about you, which will naturally in your heart say, I'm not following God again. I'm not coming to church. Is it by force? Leave me alone. Have you heard of people like that? The reason why you fight people like that is that they have not seen the joy that was set in the front of them. They've not seen it. If you see it, you will not throw away your confidence. You will not. Why are they doing that? They seek for what? For glory. What else do they seek for? Honor. What else do they seek for? Immortality. Eternal life. So I stand here today to ask you, what are you seeking for? Why are you in church? Why are you called a believer? What are you believing in? What exactly do you believe in? What do you stand for? Amen. We come to church for several reasons and for different reasons. Amen. But until you are recalibrated to the point that you know what you are looking for, then you have not started. The winds of life will blow you away. Jesus, for that glory that he had asked the Father, I want that glory. That was the glory the Bible says he looked at. Because embedded in that glory were so many things. Hallelujah. One of it is that Jesus says he will see the joy of his heart, the travail of his heart, and he'll be satisfied. When all his sons will stand. How many of you attended that convocation on Friday and Saturday? You were there. They said, let all the faculty of engineering or faculty of computers, I bet they said, let them all rise. That one section of the church, church. Hello, my grandma. That section of the hall will just rise. You just hear that. You will adjust your cap. Then the dean will come. Said the chancellor, is it chancellor? The pro-chancellor and the vice chancellor, I hereby present to you the 2019-2020 graduation set of faculty of anything. I don't know what they did. I don't remember. Some part of you, I'm not shaking you. I don't know. But the place, the time when your head will swear, he said, the best graduating student, 2019 set. All of you will rise. Abibeko, did you rise? I will graduate now. I beg graduate money. You are denying yourself. Best graduate is coming out to come and collect his prize. All of you must rise. You can't sit there and reclaim me. How can you be the one that no? That's the best guy that got the prize. I mean, get up. You stand up. You be looking at me. What happened to your own head? What did you not read? Praise God. Amen. And to be the joy of Jesus, to present, just like the dean is happy to present his graduating students to the pro-chancellor. Jesus said, these are my children that has overcome. These are they that are worthy to wear the crown and sit with me on my throne. Oluwamio. I can imagine archangels, seraphims, cherubims, and all the beams with trumpets celebrating those who have overcome, to sit with the lamp upon the throne. We are boast. We are proud in joy. Honestly, I believe God will give you right to be proud. We are proud. I can't draw back. But there's something daily. No, so far, I didn't join you. We could check out your intelligence. We didn't do. Praise God. They will allow you to be proud. After that one, you cannot come back to humility. Amen. Because the joy is worth it. You must see that joy, that glory, because it is God's. And he has said he will only share it with his children. Are you with me? It is not, so when we say we want to inherit God, it is not like he's going to be my servant. No, it is that nature that he has, that capacity, that ability that he wants to share with you. Praise God. And that does not mean you will get to a point. Now, Pastor Bello said something on Sunday. I don't want you to misunderstand. He said you are God's. Amen. It's not you get to a point where you are going to be independent of God. We will never be independent of God. Are you with me? We will always be dependent on him. Because he alone is the creator. You are the creation. You've only been given the privilege to share that glory. Amen. And everywhere you go in the universe, creation will recognize that is the son of the king. Because the hallmark that will differentiate you is not your clothes, it's your glory. Because they will see the glory as of only begotten son. Praise God. That's the mark that you will carry. You know, Paul said this, said, I bear upon my body the mark. Let no man trouble me. Praise God. There's a mark. They have marked you. And that mark comes when you make a decision. When you make up your mind that what I am seeking for, I didn't come to church because I like pastor. Now, some of you don't need to like me. I don't need you to like me. Praise God. Just be focused on what you've come to do in church. Is that, and when I say that, I don't mean that if you have come to be an evil person, if you are focused, that's a bad focus. The people have come to church for different things. Like they want, because very good girls are found in church. Praise God. Very good girls are found in church. Any brother that you have no history, I can't recommend you for any of my daughters. Praise God. Tell them when they come, and they're jumping up and down. One called. He said, Pastor, you know me. I said, I don't know you. I'll be in PGT. I said, I don't know you. And I told my daughter, I don't know him. If you want to marry him, my hand is not there. I will tell your parents, my hand is not there. Say, anything happens to you in tomorrow, Pastor say, my hand is not there. I don't know this boy. Yo. But Pastor, I was in PGT. I said, I don't know you. Is it my fault? Benny, me or more. Amen. So I told my daughter, this boy you are bringing, said he used to, when he did Christ, he said second semester of 500 level, and you expect me to know him. Where was he in 5 years he was a footer? Where was he gravitating, where was he operating from? Me or more, nobody had to fail. I won't say more than that. Is that okay? They're not answering me. Whether you answer me, you don't answer me, I've said my own. Where was I? That's the problem we have. We see different things, but we don't see the throne. We see all kinds of things, but we don't see that throne. And that throne signifies the center of the whole universe. Amen. The first thing he said he saw was the throne. Praise God. And what else did you say about the throne? And I said, what else did you say about the throne? You have moved. And he who sat on the throne. Remember the same experience Isaiah had. Now, Bible says in the year King Uzziah died. If you read the story of King Uzziah, he would have, if he had ended well, he would have rivaled the testimony of David. Praise God. He would have been like David. It's like the best time Nigeria ever had. The time we really enjoyed in Nigeria was in the time of General
Yakubu go on.
When we had so much money and we did not know how to spend it, we didn't know what to do with the money.
Hallelujah. Oh, may God bless us like that.
So, inside of us, some of us who were alive then, are looking forward again. If a man will rise again and will create that kind of condition, when there will be no scarcity or lack in Nigeria. So, in Uzziah, Isaiah saw a savior. But the man didn't end well. And so you can imagine the disappointment. You can imagine how disillusioned he was. You can imagine how he lost all hope. And it was in that situation that the heavens parted. And he said, and I saw the Lord. He had lost hope. But God was still in charge. Because he saw he was seated on the throne. Hallelujah. John was in the island of Patmos. The Roman Empire had decimated the church. Everything around them was crumbling. Everything they told people was not working. Praise God. Everything was an upheaval. Everything was failing. It was as if the church was going to be swallowed by the dragon. It was in that situation. He came into the realm of the spirit. And the first thing he had to see was not the how beautiful heaven was. Not the gate. It was not the gate they showed him. What did they show him? The throne. And he who sat. Hallelujah. You must see he who sat. And immediately, verse 3. I will stop here tonight. Let me stop at verse 3. Verse 3 now. And he that sat was to look upon like a what? A jasper and a sardine stone. I think he really was not sure what exactly he was looking at. Either be jasper, atunji, atunda be sardine. So the color was entering color. Shape was entering. It was not shape, it's the color. So to look like a jasper, to look like a sardine. I've not seen sardine. I've not seen jasper. So I can't describe it to you. Praise God. Am I communicating? Me, I've not seen it. But it's, I don't know. Don't let me go there. Praise God. And there was a rainbow round about his throne. Rainbow. Do you know where you guys see rainbow? When rain has just finished falling or rain is about to fall and it did not fall, you see that rainbow that crosses the sky. They've been looking for, till tomorrow, they've been looking for where the rainbow started and where it ended. They've not found it. And yet the rainbow is there. Amen. But if you know Old Testament, the rainbow was not put there. It's not, let me explain this. That rainbow is a testimony. Are you with me? It's a what? It's a testimony. When they put the rod of Aaron that budded inside the Ark of the Covenant, it was an internal testimony that it was the house of Aaron that was chosen to be the priest, the high priest. Am I communicating? That rainbow is an eternal covenant that God made with man. That he will not destroy man or the earth with water again. And he saw that rainbow. It was a sign of the covenant. So all those items are very, very significant. They just didn't have that. That furniture was not just put there for putting sake. Praise God. Am I with you? How many of you are into not fashion? Well, okay, let me talk about fashion. Praise God. Now, some of you, if you're into fashion, let me say, you want to sew a shirt for somebody like me. Amen. And you put your pocket here. And I'm asking, why is the pocket here? I say, fashion. Is that a reasonable fashion? Bro, Molu, this is where you put your own. It's supposed to be here. But who developed that here? Who said it has to be here? Which textbook did you read? Which master told you that? I can put my own pocket here now. So the people that are cutting their jeans, going hard, on the fashion. Praise God. Any case, what I'm trying to say is that among us, we can do things just want to be crazy. We want to be woke. You want to be out of this world. And they call it fashion. How
can somebody just sit down somewhere? And you just sit down, say, that makes sense. And you should jump inside it. Something's wrong with you. You should have asked, why? What is the reason behind it? Lack of again. Just like that. But not so with the furniture of heaven. Are you with me? If they are putting something here, there's a reason why it was put there. Are you with me? You need to find out why it was put there. You need to find out how it was arranged. Everything has a reason and the purpose is served. If you observe the way the temple was arranged and the furniture of the temple, they were not arranged anyhow. It was a gospel on its own. Prophetic gospel. The whole temple. If we sit down with it, we cannot finish it for 1 year. Just the temple that Moses, the tabernacle of Moses, says message for 1 year. We'll finish it. Amen. And so the things which when he came into heaven, the Bible says he saw that through, and somebody sat there and was looked upon like a jasper or a sardine stone. He couldn't really make up his mind what exactly he was looking at. But it was not a combination that was normal with him in the world he was coming from. And the Bible says, and there was this rainbow round about the throne, inside like unto an emerald. I don't know what an emerald is, but we know rainbow. Rainbow has about how many colors? Seven colors of the rainbow. Now, he said, how can you not have a rainbow that looks like an emerald? Praise God. Everything has, now let me read this last one and I'll go. I promise you we'll go. Amen. Around about the throne were what? 24 seats. Are they seats? Says it. And upon the seats, I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Remember when he was describing God, he didn't say he saw a crown on God's head. He didn't have a crown. But every other person that sat around him had crowns. So who is the senior? Who is the senior? The one that had no crown, the one that had crowns, those ones that have crowns. Hallelujah. Nobody has ever seen the crown of God. Nobody has ever seen his crown. This is God's crown. I have seen it. I have carried it. This is the way they have. Describe the crown that David put on his head. They describe the kind of crown that Solomon wore. Kings have their crowns. But they told us that these 24 elders had crowns. But more importantly, the Bible says they were clothed in white raiment. Next verse. I think we should stop next verse. And out of the throne, what proceeded from the throne? Lightning. There are different categories of lightning. Amen. We're going to study geography. You'll find out there are different kinds of lightning. There's one that is light that I don't know. That when it comes and yak bagaga, all of you will jump under the bed. You know that kind of lightning. But it's not the lightning that's our problem, it's the thunder that follows after. Praise God. I don't know whether thunderings came after that one. And voices, and I guess that has the thunders. Hey. Lightnings and thunderings. Thank you. And voices. If you are not strong-hearted, you will run. That tells you how terrible he is. He is a terrible being. Amen. And where is he coming from? Not from his person, but from where? From his throne. His throne is generating his own life, his own energy on his own. So if he who made the throne, because I believe the throne did not come into existence the day God came into existence. He created the throne. Are you with me? And he who made it is stronger than he who that the thing he made. So if he just made that, and that thing is that terrible in sight, you can have just let your imagination run wild. How dangerous God is himself. He was asking Job, were you there? When I created all these things and the sons of the morning sang for joy. say, can you bind the sweet smell of the Pleiades or Orion? Can you? I think we should go and read Job again. Those questions, they have no answer. Job said, I have heard you as rumor. Well, the day I saw you, I kept quiet. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Those spirits are associated with our throne. I call them governmental spirits. They are not the spirit of Lord, send your spirit on me. It's not this kind of spirit they send to you. Praise God. These are governmental spirits. These are the seven spirits by which he governs the whole creation. Amen. We'll talk about that if we have the opportunity next week. And if not, when we meet again, we'll talk about it. Let me stop as I promised. Amen. But the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. The glory of God is embedded in his person. And it's because you cannot know it, appreciate it, except look at the person of the king. What kind of king is he? What are the articles that surround him? What are the kind of things and beings that worship him? Then you can appreciate how majestic he is. Remember when we're looking at Solomon, they looked at the way he walked. They looked at the apparel of the servants, the way they arranged the table. It's the same arrangement you see in heaven. Nothing is arranged haphazardly. Everything, precision, precision, precision. Amen. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are there questions? Or we'll just pray and we'll go for tonight. Eniola, come back. You came in late. You can't go early. Come and sit down. This is part of the, you have to be disciplined this time around. You don't leave God's presence. That's part of things you have to learn. I know sometimes you look at the environment and all you can see are ordinary men and women. But the Bible says you have come to where? Mount Zion. You have come into the company of innumerable number of angels. In the realm of the spirit, we are in Zion. If your eyes open, you will not see anybody here. What you will see are men in a gathering in heaven. And you don't walk out like that. We have to learn to start seeing things from the perspective of the invisible. We have to start training our minds to start relating with those kind of things. Praise God. Any question? If none, we'll just pray and then we'll say the grace and go. Apparently there is none. Come rise on our feet and let us bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. Father, we worship you this night. We worship him that sits upon the throne, whose appearance is to look upon like a jasper and a sardine. We do not understand what that means, but we know that you are the embodiment of light. You are the light generator. The Bible says, "You know there is no variableness or shadow of turning. You do not cast shadow on any man." And we praise you. We worship you. We adore you. You are the preeminent. You are the one that is majesty. You are the one that is the holder and the generator of glory. No wonder Jesus despised the shame. No wonder Jesus was not moved by the sufferings. Father, I pray for strength for us to keep our focus on He that sits upon the throne in Jesus' name. That no matter what we go through in life, this vision of you will not be taken from our memories in Jesus' name. That all that will occupy our consciousness is the privilege and opportunity to meet with you, to sit among those 24 elders and call you Father. Let this be our realities. Because we pray together in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.